Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, students. Welcome to our lesson summary review for today. We're continuing with our course, Spiritual Gifts, and we're on session number 7 this week, which will talk about other spiritual gifts. This is part 1 of part 2 of this particular section of our course. And today we're going to speak specifically about ministering, teaching, and exhorting. Now, this session is intended to help the students understand 3 of the ministry gifts that are more common than some others. These gifts should help you to see the importance of ministering to people's material needs, teaching concerning the Christian life, and exhorting fellow believers. And as we always do, we're going to take some time now to prepare our hearts and minds through prayer. And I want to remind each and every one of you to make it a regular part of your day for your personal daily devotions. For our connection with Christ is priority in everything that we do in life as well as in ministry. So let us seek the face of God even now. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We give glory. We ascribe worth and honor to you. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We thank you that the Spirit of God lives and it abides inside of us. We thank you for the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding that we gain as we study your scriptures. We thank you for the life that it brings to our life. We thank you for the hope that it brings to us, for the strength, and for the nourishment of our souls. Today, may we learn, may we grow, and may we know more about our part in your plan and how you choose to work through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, I welcome you to our lesson summary review. We're continuing with our lesson review for the course Spiritual Gifts, which is one of our Bachelor's in Practical Ministry program courses. And we're on session number 7 this week, and we're going to be talking about other spiritual gifts, particularly the gifts of ministering, teaching, and exhorting. Now, there's a little exercise sheet that I want to get started with to get us kind of primed for some of the things we're going to talk about in this lesson review. And these are some true-false questions, and I want you to try to answer whether they're true or false. And, of course, I'll give you the response as we go through. But first, let me give you what the introduction for this lesson is about. Now, if you are studying along with us through our previous sessions, you know that we have studied the 4 gifts called the gifts of ministry. You can see a list of these in Ephesians chapter 4, where it talked about the 5 gifts that we studied thus far: the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. Now, in our last lesson, we studied about evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We learned that while every believer is to do the work of evangelizing, certain members have a special call to be evangelists. We also saw that more believers are likely to be pastors or teachers than any of the other 3 that we studied. And also, special attention was given to learning the purpose that Christ has for giving the gifts of ministry. Now, in this week's session, we're ready to study another grouping of spiritual gifts, as I mentioned to you, called other spiritual gifts. Now, while there are many pastors, teachers, there are many more members of Christ's body who are not gifted for those offices or any of the other that we have considered thus far. But that does not mean that they do not have spiritual gifts. And that's what we're going to talk about in this lesson. We will learn about other spiritual gifts and see that many believers can have them. Some of you listening today, students, and those around the world, you may not have sensed a special leading of the Holy Spirit in relation to the gifts of ministry. If not, it is very possible that before this lesson is finished, you will recognize a gift that God has already given to you. And so we pray that as you move through this lesson, that the Holy Spirit will guide and bring revelation and illumination to you. Now, here's the outline of the lesson review that we're going to go over today. If you have your note-taking material and your study guide. Here's the first point we want to discuss today. We want to talk about the gift of ministering. We're going to define the gift. We're going to talk about how the gift is explained and illustrated, as well as the purpose of the gift. And we're going to do the same thing with the next two, which is the gift of teaching, and then the gift of exhorting. So let's begin with this little oral quiz, this true and false quiz, just to get us primed for the study. I'm going to speak these statements out, and I want you to think about or jot on a blank sheet of paper whether you think they are true or false. Let's begin. The first one is, Stephen and Philip needed the Spirit's power for handling finances as much as for preaching. Do you think that is true or false? Number two, when Dorcas died, the widows wept because she was one of their favorite singers. Is that true or false? Number three, one way to exercise the ministry gift of teaching is simply by being a good example to others. Do you think that's true or false? Number four, if a Sunday school teacher has a natural gift for teaching, he or she does not need any spiritual gift. Number five, the place to exercise ministry gifts is in church, not at home. Number six, the word minister simply means servant. Let's go to number seven. The gift of teaching is reserved only for pastors and teachers. Number eight, we should give to the poor, but we don't need to be cheerful about it. And now you're writing the response of true or false of these statements. We have a few more. Number nine, even though many unbelievers are in need, a believer should not give as freely to them as to needy believers. Number 10, the gift of teaching is reserved for men only. Number 11, exhortation should be directed toward believers more than toward unbelievers. We have three more. Number 12, to exhort means to tell people their faults and warn them that they need to change their ways. Number 13, the Lord's Day is the time when people need to be exhorted. And finally, number 14, the gifts of ministering, teaching, and exhorting can be exercised by more people than the gifts of apostles, prophets, and evangelists. Now, if you're taking note with us, question number one is true, which is Stephen and Philip needed the Spirit's power for handling finances just as much as they needed it for preaching. Number three is also true. One way to exercise the ministry gift of teaching is simply by being a good example to others. Number six is true as well. The word minister simply means servant. Number nine, even though many unbelievers are in need, a believer should not give as freely to them as to needy believers. Paul says, especially to the household of faith. Number 11 is true. Exhortation should be directed toward believers more than toward unbelievers, for this is part of the ministry gifts to edify one another. And number 14, the gifts of ministering, teaching, and exhorting can be exercised by more people than the gifts of apostles, prophets, and evangelists. So we'll talk about some of these answers and responses as we go through more of the review, but that's something to get us primed for what this lesson taught us. Now, if you take a look at your study guide, you'll see the introduction for this particular lesson. And you'll see the outline listed, the three different areas that we're going to talk about. So we mentioned that there were three specific other gifts that we're going to talk about, which is ministering, teaching, and exhorting. So let's begin with our first area, which is the gift of ministering. Now, this first objective asks us to describe the gift of ministering and list some of the types of work which may be included in this gift. So let's see the gift defined. You can make note of Romans chapter 12, verse 7, where Paul says, if it is to serve, we should serve. Now, in the King James Version, the word serve is minister or ministering. This is why we refer to this as the gift of ministering. So the word ministering is used several times in the Greek New Testament. First, it is used in Romans 12, 7. It is also found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, where it says, pray us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Now, in this case, a group of people from the church in Macedonia wanted Paul and those who worked with him to join in supplying the needs of some believers who were going through hard times. And this is why we need to understand that not all of the gifts are spiritual gifts in the sense that they just speak of the encouragement or the idea of God doing supernatural things from the God side of things. These other ministry gifts that we're talking about today are expressions of God's gift working through us in the practical side of things. And this is why you see mentioned in this particular portion of Scripture that the believers were asking Paul and the other believers to supply a physical material need. So we need to understand that, yes, the spiritual side of the ministry gifts are important, but they're not to be done without or by neglecting the physical or material needs of the believers that we're ministering to. And we see this in this case. So that's the gift defined. It's ministering to the physical or material needs of people. Let's see an example of the gift explained and illustrated. You can make note of Acts chapter 9, verses 36 to 41. You see the story of Dorcas. She had the gift of ministering. Scripture in chapter 9, verse 36 says, she spent all her time doing good and helping the poor. So what kind of thing did she do? Well, if you look at that text, you'll see that she sewed garments for poor widows. And when she suddenly died, Peter went to her house, and the scripture says all the widows crowded around him, crying and showing him all the shirts and the coats that Dorcas had made while she was alive. So we see how the gift is explained and illustrated in a very practical way. Let's talk now about the purpose of this gift of ministry. The gift of ministry is given to meet the need of people both inside and outside of the body of Christ. One of the most effective ways, students, of winning people to Christ is first through ministering to their needs. And you'll see this is an example that Jesus showed in his life and ministry, as well as in many of the parables that speaks to these things. You look at the book of James, where it talks about what true and pure religion is, to care for the fatherless and the widows and the orphans. And so we need to understand that the gift of ministering is just as important as the other fivefold, which is commonly referred to as the fivefold ministry gifts of apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. So here we've talked about the gift of ministering. The second ministry gift that we're going to talk about today is the gift of teaching. The gift of teaching. So the second objective asks us to explain the difference between the gift of teaching and the spiritual gift of a pastor, a teacher. There is a distinction that needs to be made, as we understand that all may not be called to be in the office of a pastor or a teacher, but we can all, to greater degrees, exercise the gift of teaching. So we can make note of Romans chapter 12, verse 7. You see where Paul mentions, if it is to teach, we should teach. Now, teaching as is used here means showing how to do certain things, training or educating people. You see, therefore, we understand that the gift of teaching means two things. It means the gift of showing others how to do certain things. Secondly, it is the gift of training others how to do certain things. And thirdly, it is the gift of educating others by giving knowledge. So there you see that the gift is defined as training or educating others in how to do certain things and providing the knowledge of how to do it. That is what the gift of teaching is defined as we're using it in the course. Now, let's see an example of this gift explained and illustrated. Now, we realize that teaching can be done in many ways. Here, we will consider two of the most important ways. One of the first ways that teaching can be done is by example. You see that Paul wrote to Titus about this in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. You see, part of Titus' work was to teach. He was to teach the older women how to teach the younger women. He was to do this by showing the older women how to be good examples to the younger women. So you see how the gift of teaching, as we defined it, is illustrated in the example of the letter that Paul wrote to Titus and how Titus was to teach the older women to teach the younger women. And one of the ways they were going to teach them was by example. A second way that teaching can be done is by imparting knowledge. Now, this is what Jesus did so often. We see his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 says, his disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Now, in Jesus' teaching, he gave them knowledge about the kind of living that pleases God. Earlier in this course, if you've been studying with us, we saw how important knowledge is. We learned that it is the foundation for faith, and those who impart knowledge by teaching are making faith possible. This is one of the most important functions of the gift of teaching. Now, let's understand the purpose of this gift. The function of teaching is to impart knowledge. The purpose is to make faith, right living, and doing possible. So, we know how important faith, right living, and doing are to the members of the body of Christ. For without them, the body of Christ could not even exist. So this helps us understand the great value of the gift of teaching. So far we've covered the first two other spiritual gifts, which are the gift of ministering and the gift of teaching. Now let's talk about our third ministry gift, which is the gift of exhorting. It acts us as an objective to describe the gift of exhorting or encouraging. Another word you may think about for exhorting is to edify one another. So let's see how the gift is defined. Exhort means to call near or to call for. When applied to the gift of exhorting, it means to call believers near to God or to some purpose of God. It also means to call believers for certain action. The believer with the gift of exhorting then calls people near to God or to some purpose for God. Many times the office of the prophet will work in the gift of exhorting as well. So now let's see how this gift is explained and illustrated. We can look at Romans 12 and 8 where Paul says, if it is to encourage others, we should do so. So the word for encourage in the King James Version is exhort. Now, thus far we have not given any attention to Paul's instructions in Romans 12 regarding the gifts that we are now studying. But we do not want to overlook this. We see in the King James Version, he urges those who use these gifts should wait on their gifts. What does he mean when he says they are to wait upon their gifts. One way you can look at it is that they should wait for the opportunity to exercise these gifts. Another way you can look at it is that they should develop and use these gifts. So we should try to make our gifts as useful as possible. Just as our body is weakened when we don't exercise, so is our faith weakened when we don't exercise our spiritual gifts or the ministry gifts that God gives us. Again, remember what Paul says in Romans 12:8. He that exhorteth, let him wait on exhortation or look for opportunities to exhort. This means we should use our gift, try to use it, try to improve it and develop it. So that is how that gift is explained and illustrated. And we know that many in the body of Christ may have the gift of exhortation, and we'll understand more about it as you look at some of the examples that were given to you in your study guide. Now, let's talk about the purpose of the gift of exhortation, the gift of exhortation. Now, just as the two previous gifts that we talked about, ministering and teaching, exhortation serves many useful purposes in the body of Christ. Almost every believer needs to be exhorted from time to time. Some people need to be exhorted quite often, especially those who are facing life's trials and tests. So, students, we can say then that the purpose for the gift of exhorting is to call believers to a closer walk with God or to call them to some purpose of God. And exhorting also means to call believers to some action which will help themselves or others in their walk with God. And we're talking about in some real practical, real-life way. One of the examples I think about is Nehemiah when he was about to rebuild the wall, when he encouraged those that were workers with him in Jerusalem. He says, come, let us rebuild. Exhorted their faith to take some action to change their life situation and circumstances. So I pray that as you review these three other ministry gifts of ministering, teaching, and exhorting, that perhaps you will recognize some of the areas in which God is using you or maybe calling you, and that you would also appreciate and exercise these gifts as often as possible, not only for your benefit, but for the benefit of the body of Christ, as well as an effective witness to the world. One of the things we saw in the book of Acts was that when those unbelievers saw the love that the believers had for one another, it made them desire to have that relationship as well. That relationship with God that leads to a relationship that ministers to one another, serving the practical needs of each other, teaching each other, giving them principles about how to live the Christian faith that applies to their actual lives here in the earth, and then exhorting or encouraging them into the actions they should go, and also by imparting the knowledge that they need to take the action. These are very practical ministry gifts that oftentimes seem to be neglected in the body of Christ. What I'm finding in many cases, people are attending church services not for the purpose of worshiping God, but for the purposes of being counseled or taught or being ministered to. Now, there's a place for this type of ministry, but we also should take time set apart solely just to worship God. And so this is why the believers met from house to house teaching prayer, breaking bread. It's what we call cell churches. And so let's be sure that we do not neglect all of the ministry gifts. Yes, the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist has their purpose and function, but as you see here, so does these other ministry gifts of ministering, teaching, and exhorting. Now I'm going to conclude this week's lesson review with an exercise sheet. And as we always do, we try to post the exercise sheets on our Facebook page. You can always contact us at the school email address or through the chat line, and we'll provide you with a copy of the exercise sheet. But let's go through this quickly. There are six questions on this exercise sheet, and let's begin. First question, is it more important to exhort large congregations or an individual? Well, the answer that we want you to get is that whether preaching to a large congregation is more important than exhorting an individual believer depends on God's will. If the Lord wants us to preach to many people, we should do so. However, exhorting an individual believer may be just as important. We see an example of Philip when he ministered to an audience of one man on the road to Gaza in Acts 8:35. And we see Jesus minister privately to individuals on several occasions, as well as on the Mount to thousands. So each of the ministries has its proper place if it is according to God's will. Second question, is the gift of teaching more important in the church? Well, when a pastor speaks from the pulpit, his teaching has to be general in nature. The best teaching is in small groups or to individuals when it can be directed to their personal needs. So a church needs teachers who can minister to various ages and various classes of people. The office of the pastor can speak teaching in general, but then the gift of teaching needs to be directed to people's personal needs in small groups or in one-to-one sessions. You see, Jesus used all three of those ways to teach. Question number three. Why did God send Philip to Samaria instead of Dorcas? Well, no doubt Dorcas had a ministry gift, but it was not best suited for her to go to Samaria and to preach to people there. We see that her gift was best suited to help the poor and to sew garments for the widows in Acts chapter 9, verse 39. And Philip was not suited to do Dorcas' work as well as she could, but he could preach and pray for the sick with great results, as we see in Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. So what we need to understand is that the Lord matches or fits a person for the ministry to which he calls them. Question number four. Is one ministry in the church more important than another? Let's give an example. In Acts chapter 6, ministry fell into two classes, the ministry of tables and the ministry of the word. The believers in this church evidently considered the job of handling funds and helping needy believers to be very important, for they said that the men who assumed this responsibility must be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. What counts, students, is for each person to do God's will for his life. One position is as important as another if the appointment is from the Lord. Number five. Should the church provide the ministry of caring for the needy? Well, we see that the Jews viewed the Samaritans as heathens, yet Jesus said that a Samaritan showed more love to the wounded man than to the two religious Jews who passed him by. So sometimes unbelievers today appear to be more unselfish and more generous toward the needy than believers are, and this should put believers to shame. Our final question I have for you in this is, has someone been a special help to you? And what type of ministry do you hope to have? So I pray that each of you take some time to seek God about the kind of gift that God wants to work through you or maybe working through you, and take some time to thank God for the special help that one of these ministry gifts may have been in your life. Well, students, I thank you for allowing me to take the time to go over this review with you. I look forward to continuing with our studies in this course, Spiritual Gifts. Today we've covered Session 7, Other Ministry Gifts, Part 1, which is Ministering, Teaching, and Exhorting. I look forward to our next opportunity. In the meantime, God bless you, and good day.